As I had expected, there was a small crowd filling the nearby street, weeping worshippers, curious onlookers, and very snappish order keepers. I could also hear a small group off at the far end of the promenade singing. Their song was wordless, just the same melody over and over, soothing and vaguely eerie. These were the New Lights, one of the newer religions that had appeared in the city. They had probably come looking for recruits among the dead goddess's bereft followers. Along with the lights, I could smell the heavy, soporific incense of the Darkwalkers, worshippers of the Shadow Lord. There weren't many of them, though. They tended not to be mourning people. In addition to these were the pilgrims, who worshipped the Grey Lady, the Daughters of the New Fire, who favored some godling I'd never heard of, the Tenth Hellers, the Clockwork League, and half a dozen other groups. Amid this rabble, I could hear street children, probably picking pockets and playing pranks. Even they had a patron god these days, or so I'd heard. Small wonder the order keepers were snappish, with so many heretics crowding their own hall. Still, they had managed to cordon off the alley and were allowing mourners to approach it in small groups, letting them linger long enough for a prayer or two. With Shiny beside me, I crouched to brush my hand over the piles of flowers and candles and offertory trinkets that had been placed at the mouth of the alley. I was surprised to find the flowers half wilted, which meant they had been there a while. The godling who'd marked the alley must have suspended the self-cleaning magic for the time being, perhaps out of respect for Rola. "A shame," I said to Shiny. "I never met this one, but I hear she was nice. Goddess of compassion or something like that. She worked as a bone bender down in South Root. Anyone who could pay had to give her an offering, but she never turned away those who couldn't." I sighed. Shiny was a silent, brooding presence beside me, unmoving, barely breathing. Thinking this was grief, I stood and fumbled for his hand and was surprised to find it clenched tight at his side. I'd completely mistaken his mood. He was angry, not sad. Puzzled by this, I slid my hand up to his cheek. "Did you know her?" He nodded once. "Was she your goddess? Did you pray to her?" He shook his head, cheek flexing beneath my fingers. What had that been? A smile? A bitter one. "You cared for her, though."
"Yes," he said.
I froze. He had never spoken to me, not once in 3 months. I hadn't even realized he could talk. For a moment, I wondered whether I should say something to acknowledge this momentous event, and then I inadvertently brushed against him and felt the hard, tension-taut muscle of his arm. Foolish of me to fixate on a single word when something far more momentous had occurred. He had shown concern for something in the world besides himself. I coaxed his fist open and laced my fingers with his, offering the same comfort of contact that I had given Madding the day before. For an instant, Shiny's hand quivered in mine, and I dared to hope that he might return the gesture. Then his hand went slack. He did not pull away, but he might as well have. I sighed and stayed by him for a little while, then finally pulled away myself. "I'm sorry," I said, "but I have to go." He said nothing, so I left him to his mourning and headed over to Art Row. Yell, the proprietor of the promenade's biggest food stand, allowed us artists to store things in her locked stand overnight, which made my life much easier. It didn't take long to set up my tables and merchandise, though once I sat down, it was exactly as I'd feared. For 2 whole hours, not a single person came to peruse my goods. I heard the others grumbling about it as well. Though Ben Khan was lucky. He sold a charcoal drawing of the promenade that happened to include the alley. I had no doubt he would have 10 more drawings like it by the next morning. I hadn't gotten enough sleep the night before, since I'd been up late cleaning Shiny's mess. I was beginning to nod off when I heard a soft voice say, "Miss, excuse me." Starting awake, I immediately plastered on a smile to cover my grogginess. "Why, hello, sir. See something that interests you?" I heard his amusement, which confused me. "Yes,
Actually, do you sell here every day?
Yes, indeed. I'm happy to hold an item if you'd like.
That won't be necessary.
Abruptly, I realized he hadn't come to buy anything. He didn't sound like a pilgrim. There wasn't the faintest hint of uncertainty or curiosity in his voice, though his Sinemite was cultured and precise. I could hear the slower curves of the Wesha accent underneath. This was a man who had lived in shadow all his life, though he seemed to be trying to conceal that. I took a guess. Then what would an Etempan priest want with someone like me? He laughed, unsurprised.
So it's true what they say about the blind. You can't see, but your other senses grow finer.